This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with the MBTA and how and why it's not working. The T has been shut down for almost 24 hours now, leaving many commuters scrambling for other ways to get to work and back home. Of course, historic amounts of snow have a lot to do with the crisis facing the T, but so do years of underfunding and ambitious expansion plans. We'll hear more about that a little later in the hour. But we'll begin with MBTA General Manager Beverly Scott, who offered a passionate defense of the system and of her management of it. At a press conference earlier today, an animated Scott said the T's biggest challenge is a lack of funding.
I am truly unimportant in this. I am unimportant. Get what you need or what you want. But what you have got to do is that you've got to give that person, or whoever they are, God Jr. or whomever, give them the resources that they need, and that means that there has to be significant investment and reinvestment in this system.
Scott said T workers are struggling to run an aged system that's getting pounded every day by what she called a perfect storm that would have been a challenge for just about any transportation system in the country.
Let me tell you, I've worked the new systems in Houston, the Dallas's, and all that. So yes, what happened here, it would have taken anybody down. Anybody. But let me tell you the difference. When you knew, the ability to be able to rebound because you got the resilience is there.
We're joined now by reporter Jack Lepiarz, who was at the press conference with Beverly Scott earlier today. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Anthony.
So tell us what happened there. That was a more heated Beverly Scott than I think I've ever heard before.
Yeah, it's interesting. Beverly Scott is one of the friendliest, most approachable public officials I have ever met. This is a totally different version. Pacing around the room, pointing at reporters, criticizing really the whole funding mechanism for the MBTA, and saying, if you know anyone who can do this job better than I can, get them in here.
I got a broad back. Anything that has happened, it's me. Because those folks that are out there and are continuing to be out there and will stay out there are given it. They are absolutely poetry in motion, and they are tired. They are there, but they love this Commonwealth. They love this place, and they are giving it all they have.
So they're giving it all they have. Obviously, the weather is a huge factor here, and I gather Beverly Scott made much of that, right?
Yeah. I mean, she pointed out we've had 70 inches of snow and nonstop freezing temperature in the last 17 days. I mean, it's important to keep in mind we are facing a historic level of snow and cold. And yes, the T's age factor is a factor here. Beverly Scott said that herself. We heard it just a moment ago. You have a system that's more than 100 years old trying to carry more than a million passengers every day. And we've had as much as a foot of snow stuck to the third rail in places. Today, MBTA crews essentially going through the system and digging out the railways by hand. But Dr. Scott says even if the system had been upgraded, even if it was new, we'd still be having problems, just problems that got resolved faster.
It's not that they don't know what to do. And it's not like they were sitting up there and didn't make the investments in the system because they had the money and didn't make it. You can see where the plans and the thoughts and technical specs were done, and they were shelved. Because they didn't have the money to do it.
So they didn't have the money to do it, and we're going to be talking a lot more about that particular subject a little later in this hour. But, Jack, any sense of when the T might get back up and running?
Well, we're expecting to hear something this afternoon. I don't know if it'll be necessarily a full announcement, but at least a better idea of when things, I don't want to say get back to normal, but when things will be back up and running. The thing that they have to look at right now is two major things, and that is public safety. The reason they were shut down yesterday is you had ice on the tracks. The tracks were slippery. The trains essentially couldn't move in some places. You had people getting stuck on the trains for as long as 2.5 hours. The other issue is how much equipment can they get out there? How many trains, not necessarily do they work right now, but as Dr. Scott said, can they be sustained? If we put them out there, are they just going to break down in 30 minutes? So that's what we're waiting on. That's what this all hinges on.
All right. I want to ask you this finally. Beverly Scott really put herself out there today. She said she's got a broad back. She sort of took responsibility for whatever problems are there. And this comes not long after Governor Charlie Baker earlier this week called the T's performance unacceptable. I know among the questions Beverly Scott was asked is whether she would resign. What did she have to say about any political pressure that she might be feeling given everything that's happened?
Well, she sort of just scoffed as soon as she heard the question. She said, I'm not having conversations about that right now. She says, right now, the most important thing is getting things back up and running. And it's important to note Charlie Baker Governor Baker, right after Beverly Scott's press conference, had his own press conference where he said he's not going to comment on that and that he doesn't even have the authority to do it. He says Dr. Scott is an underling of Transportation Secretary Beverly Pollack and the MassDOT Board of Directors.
All right. That's WBUR's Jack Lepiarz reporting on today's press conference by MBTA Chief Beverly Scott. Jack, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The crippled T is creating huge challenges for those who depend on it to get to work, especially those who don't have other modes of transportation to fall back on. Mustafa Izergani is a recent transplant from Marrakesh, Morocco. He now lives in Cambridge and relies on the T to get to work at a cafe at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and he joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mustafa. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So tell me what your commute has been like in recent days with all this snow and all these delays. What's been going on?
Monday last week was my first day of work. And in my way back, I finished work at 5. And in my way back, the T was broken on Charles and MGH, the T stop. And we had to wait 2 hours until they figure out the problem.
Yeah, two hour delay. Now,
yeah, I was supposed to be at my house at 6, so I didn't get there until 8:30.
Wow, that's a long commute. And what about getting to work? Has it made you late getting to work?
I mean, I think that the service in the morning, because I go to work early in the morning, at 6 in the morning, it's a little bit better than in the late afternoon.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have problem getting to work, but I get problems getting back from work.
Yeah. And Mustafa, what about today with the T not running? How do you get to work?
I mean, when the T is not running and they announce that, actually this is better than if they say that they are providing transportation and there is a delay, because you know that the T is not going to work. So you think about figuring out other ways to get to your job. So for example, today the manager offered us a ride. So he came by himself and took us in his car to work. The problem is when they say that the T will be working, so your boss is expecting you to be at work in time, and you can't make it.
Right. And what happens then? I understand you're an hourly employee, so if you're late to work or you don't show up, I gather you don't get paid, right?
Of course you don't get paid for the delay. Of course you are making problems for the business. So if you did do it 3 or 4 times, you might say, "Well, sorry, we can't work with that."
What are you hearing from other people that you work with? How are they coping with this situation?
I mean, I think that most of them have the same problem. Most of them doesn't have personal transportation, so they are depending on public transportation. They are suffering from or complaining about the same problem, the delay of the T.
Yeah, we mentioned that you arrived recently from Morocco. Does this surprise you that it's so difficult to get to work here in Boston?
Just to be fair, when I moved from Morocco 10 months ago, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And after 6 months in Atlanta and moving back to Massachusetts and to Boston, you have to appreciate the transportation system here. It's so much better than other cities. We appreciate that. We appreciate that they are making effort to work during the snow day. But we just need really dependable transportation systems. Transportation is just significant part of daily life, so it should be more dependable.
Yeah, more dependable for all. Well, Mustafa, thank you for talking to us. Good luck. We hope things smooth out and get a little more easy for you in terms of your effort to get to work.
Thank you so much, sir, for having me.
That's Mustafa Izergani. He lives in Cambridge and works at a cafe at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And before we take a break, this news from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. He says he expects there will be limited MBTA service tomorrow. He also said Boston public schools will be open. Meanwhile, Governor Charlie Baker today outlined an action plan to help the state dig out from the record snowfall. The plan includes activating the Massachusetts National Guard and bringing in heavy equipment from out of state, including the purchase of 2 massive snow melters. to help eliminate the snow. Stay with us. Still ahead on the program, ambitious expansion plans and woeful underfunding, how the T got to this point, and how to rescue it. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's return to the problem plaguing the MBTA, the Boston area's public transportation system, which is idle today, crippled by so much snow. Earlier today, the T's general manager, Beverly Scott, mounted a vigorous defense of the aging system.
Yes, the T needs to be efficient. It needs to push itself in it. But this is not just about cutting costs. You could cut every cost you wanted over here. And that is not, in fact, going to wind up taking the place for what has to be systemic, planned, serious, bold reinvestment in terms of this doggone transportation system. Not just to wind up keeping it where it is, but to wind up making it be what it can absolutely be in terms of being a modern, top-notch, serving with pride transportation system.
Thank you, everyone.
That's the T's general manager, Beverly Scott. But how did this doggone transportation system, as she put it, end up in this state with a $5 billion maintenance backlog, train cars that date back to the Nixon administration, a system that is shut down today because of snow and ice? For some answers, we turn to Charles Chipio. He's a research fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School and head of Chipio Strategies, a public policy writing and advocacy firm. And thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Anthony.
So first of all, Charles Chipio, are you surprised that the T is shut down by snow?
I'm surprised it took this long, more than I'm surprised that it's shut down by snow. This is not one that anyone could claim they couldn't see coming.
Really? Well, let's talk about that and how the T got to this point. We hear about this multi-billion dollar maintenance backlog and a system that is woefully underfunded. Mm-hmm. First of all, how badly underfunded is it and why?
Well, it's very badly underfunded. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, look, when the Transportation Finance Commission in 2007 was looking at $1 billion a year in extra money for the transportation system generally, and you know, so you got to look at maybe 30 or 40% of that at least being the T, and that's just to make what we have now work. Mm-hmm. So it is very badly underfunded. The reasons that it's underfunded are essentially there are two big reasons. One reason is simply because of the fact that we don't provide it with enough money to operate to do what we ask it to do. Part of the reason for that is I was involved with something called forward funding a few years ago, which was a move to, you know, believe it or not, it seems like the dark ages now, but not very long ago, the way the T was funded was that at the end of each year, they came to the legislature and said, you know, this is what we spent last year. When can we expect the check? So we needed to change that. So we put them on a budget, essentially. The problem with that was, among other things, that just as we started to do that, was the one of the big funding pieces of the funding, the biggest piece of the funding was revenue from the sales tax. And as soon as we started to do that in 2000 was when the whole world of online purchases hit that are outside the sales tax. And so that revenue was never what we thought it would be. The other big thing was a terrible decision that was made a little over 20 years ago where as environmental mitigation for the big dig, the T was mandated to build 14 new lines and new projects, and there was no funding for any of that. And so 23, 24 years later, as a result of that, we very predictably have a system that is overwhelmed with debt. When you add up the construction and the debt costs and the operating and the maintenance, those central artery mitigation requirement projects account for just about half of the T's debt.
So let me ask you about those two things in turn. And let's start with this huge commitment to expansion, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're saying that the T has been expanding, and we hear about it all the time. The Green Line is being expanded, but essentially not enough money to back up that expansion.
Yeah, literally no additional revenue stream. Mm-hmm. The MBTA for 25 years has been the fastest expanding major transit authority in the country, in one of the slowest growing metropolitan areas in the country. And, you know, it does not take a fiscal genius. I'm certainly, I'm a writer, not a finance guy, to know that at some point, you can only keep playing, you know, musical chairs for so long.
Right. And let me ask you about this other thing, this forward funding mechanism. When that was discovered to be problematic, why wasn't anything done to change it?
Well, that is really the $64 question. You know, whether it's forward funding or whether it's the transit mitigation requirements, both of those things, by not long after 2000, it was very clear that if we didn't do anything, it was going to be catastrophic. But the desire to kick the can down the road, and the desire the need to do the ribbon cuttings and that kind of stuff instead of the unsexy business of saying no, we can't build this, we have to maintain this, we have to make this system work so that it can be a generator for our economy. You know, the temptation of those things is too great, especially for people who, you know, face the voters periodically.
Yeah, right. So these numbers are really eye-popping. The MBTA says it has a $5 billion maintenance backlog. It owes nearly $9 billion in debt and interest. What are the best options going forward to fix the T?
Well, I would say there's a two-pronged approach to that. It would seem to me that what we at first have to do is we have to try and set up a set of performance sort of metrics and say, if the T achieves these metrics, and they're going to have to be modest at first, given the capacity, you know, then you'll get more money. And to ratchet that up and provide more money that way, because they definitely do need more money. We need to stop all expansion right now and focus on getting this maintenance backlog under control so this system can work, and giving them more money, at first, I think, through the gas tax, ultimately through an electronic tolling system with the money going to the T. That would be my first option. I think that there's a very realistic, unfortunate possibility that the T is so far gone at this point that we may be talking about, you know, some kind of a receivership kind of situation where you can, you know, cut through the contracts and cut through the inability to privatize anything and, you know, cut through all of the things that make the T very inefficient. Now, that's not to say that the pension, which is a disaster, that's not to say that all of those things add up to nearly the amount of money that these two, the expansion and the mitigation issues do. Those are the big things. But, you know, I think we're going to have to be in a situation where we're going to have to kind of take the shortcut, perhaps, to get any savings that we can to try to make this work. Hopefully, the more democratic, less draconian approach can work.
Mm. I mean, it sounds like you're describing a system that, you know, going back for the past decade and a half, as you said, politicians have been disinclined to sort of deal with the unsexy side of just, you know, being smart about the funding.
Right.
Do you think that this crisis that has beset the T is going to spur the political establishment to take this seriously? Are you optimistic?
Well, you know what? I'm really hoping that the 1.1 million people a day who write it are going to insist on that, you know, and who are they really going to hold the feet of politicians to the fire. You know, I work from home a lot, but whenever I go into Boston, which is on a pretty regular basis, I take the T. You know, I would never occur to me to drive, and I sure want it to work. I sure want it to be efficient. And I think there's a whole lot of people from every strata of life in the greater Boston area who wants the same thing.
Well, let me ask you about that, because it seems to me that one of the challenges around more funding for the T is that residents outside of greater Boston, people who don't use the T, might say, well, you know, it's too bad, but it's not really my problem. What's the best argument that everybody in the Commonwealth, not just T riders, should care about this
system?
Well,
let me make the kind of best argument that no elected official could ever make. I would hate for those people outside of 495, say, to get their wish and just turn their backs on the MBTA and then have to face the kind of rolling depression that the Massachusetts economy would face if the MBTA, which is such an important generator and engine for the greater Boston economy, were to go away. The economic impact of that would be felt well beyond 495 and well beyond the borders of Massachusetts.
Yeah, so it's a real one of the spark plugs of the economy, not just in the Boston area but across the state.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the sort of the statistics and the research on the impact that the greater Boston area has on the entire New England economy, I mean, it's immense. It really is the engine for the entire regional economy.
Yeah. Let me return to something that Beverly Scott said earlier today. She's the GM of the T, of course. She defended the agency's performance, saying that she's basically running an aged system that's getting pounded every day by what she described as a perfect storm. I mean, clearly the T has structural challenges around funding, but it's also true that it's been hit by this historic amount of winter weather. Would a newer and better maintained T necessarily have fared a whole lot better?
Well, I think a newer and better maintained T would certainly not have just gone through this without any delays or any problems, but you also wouldn't have days of it being shut down. I mean, yes, clearly a newer and better maintained T, the kind of T that we should have, with the focus on customer service, on a system that works and is reliable and timely, would have gotten through even this, certainly not without problems, but much better than we have.
Yeah. I want to ask you this finally, and of course, we've all heard this over the past few days, but what about this idea of an Olympics coming to Boston? Many critics say that what's happened to the MBTA over the past few days shows that this system couldn't possibly handle the pressures of a summer games.
Well, I would say this. I have a twofold answer for you. The first fold is that if you look at the facts around bringing the Olympics to Massachusetts, that is an idea that is very deserving of failing on its own, apart from the MBTA. But that is certainly correct. I mean, certainly under that kind of pressure, the good news is that it would be in the summertime. The bad news is that, yes, you would have a system that, unless it changes dramatically, is in no position to handle that kind of volume.
Well, that's Charles Chippio. He's a research fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School and head of Chippio Strategies, a public policy writing and advocacy firm. Charles, thanks so much for coming in. We're really grateful.
Thanks, Anthony.
Stay with us. Coming up, you think it's been bad out there in recent days? Imagine what the city was like before the snowplow. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.